listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
OBM, Ohio Business Machines, preferred copier provider of the Cleveland Browns. You know that every day is game day in your office. Call 216-485-2000 or visit OhioBusinessMachines.com. Today we go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline and bring in Charles Robinson, senior NFL insider and investigative reporter for Yahoo Sports. Charles, welcome to the show.
What's going on, fellas?
Apparently, you're on as news breaks. Adam Schefter reporting right now. The NFL upholds Tom Brady's four-game suspension per source. Story continues now on to court. Your thoughts, I guess we'll start there with Deflategate, as you had tweeted out before. Patriots source saying that they were surprised to hear about the phone destruction part of this.
Yeah, I mean, if that happened, I can tell you this. I don't think the Patriots knew anything about it. You know, I'm not saying it didn't happen, but as far as their knowledge is concerned, they don't know anything about him destroying any phone. So, you know, that, I think, definitely raised some eyebrows in that franchise today. You know, as far as it being upheld, this dragging on as long as it did, you know, and obviously over the last 24 hours, this whole idea, you know, a sticking point of this whole thing was whether or not Tom Brady was willing to admit any guilt. You know, I think that Tom Brady's camp saying we're going to court if you give us anything may have, in a way, worked in the opposite, you know, direction of what they wanted. I think they thought if we tell them, look, you've got nothing, we know you've got nothing, we're going to take you to court if you give us anything. I think there was a thought in Tom Brady's camp that the league would sit there and look at that and go, okay, well, how about we just look at a fine? How about if we look at docking game checks but not games? And I think actually it was the opposite. I think the league looked at that and said, okay, well, if you're going to take us to court no matter what, we're not going to do the dirty work for you. We're not going to just give games away and still have you take us to court over this. If you want, you know, to get any games stricken, let's just go. Let's go to court. If that's your intention, and I think, you know, Tom Brady's lead attorney in this, Jeffrey Kessler, was very clear that, you know, we feel like we have a winning case in court. I think the league's lawyers believed him and said, all right, well, then we'll go to court and we'll force you to force our hands. And in a way, even if they come out on top in that, it saves some face for Roger Goodell, because it's not Roger Goodell backing down. It's him being forced to back down. But considering it's a full four games, I expect that they will seek an injunction, which I think if it was two games, I think maybe that might have been a little bit different. He might have served two games. But I think it being the full four games, I think he'll seek an injunction and they'll go to court over this and just going to drag on even longer and get even uglier.
It will. According to reports in the NFL's ruling, they had a 20-page letter that they released. It says that Brady, quote, directed that his cell phone be destroyed, keeping them from being able to access 10,000 potential text messages. So obviously this saga will continue to go on for quite some time here with the New England Patriots. The thing that surprised me is that the league just reduced, you know, the suspension of Greg Hardy from what, 10 to 4 games, and now they're going to have, for what he did in a domestic violence transgression, and then now you're going to have Tom Brady also staying at that number 4 and people being able to kind of put that picture side by side. And I was surprised that the NFL would kind of stand their ground given that possibility being out there.
Right. Well, remember, they didn't reduce the Greg Hardy suspension to 4. I mean, that was done through arbitration.
Sure.
So, you know, the league can sit there and say, hey, look, we did not determine that Greg Hardy's only going to serve 4. We said 10. And our arbitration process ruled, you know, that it's going to be 4. But, you know, the Patriots, and you know, I talked to a source about this when Greg Hardy's suspension was initially reduced. You know, the first thing out of this source's mouth was, if that remains, if it's 4 versus 4 and it's Tom Brady supposedly with no proof, you know, directing, you know, air to be released from footballs, and Greg Hardy, this is a domestic violence situation where at the very least the North Carolina judge ruled against him, you know, before, you know, he requested a jury trial and all this, you know, they just look at it as a absolute sham and a real black eye on, you know, how the NFL determines its justice. Because, you know, for the Patriots, they're like, how can you even equate, you know, these two things? And one, you haven't even proven in the court of public opinion. So, you know, this whole thing is nastier than I think even people realize, how upset the Patriots are with the league office and how this whole entire process has been run. I can tell you there's definitely been some irreparable damage done between the Patriots and Roger Goodell and NFL's lawyers.
I'm sure there has, Charles. As I know you're, I believe, headed to Foxborough today, do you expect Bill Belichick to move on from this, you know, harshly in the fact that it's going to be Jimmy Garoppolo, or will Tom Brady, you know, four-time Super Bowl winner, still be getting reps, still be, you know, being the, you know, taking reps as the starter, or will he have a plan in place knowing that this is the could have been the end goal to go on with in four games, which is a quarter of the season without him?
Right. Well, that's the whole idea of this injunction, Tom Brady continuing to play until there's some kind of resolution in court. Puts the Patriots in a tough spot because now you're sitting there and you have to figure out, you got to get, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, you got to get him ready, you know, in case Tom Brady is not going to, you know, be able to play, whether it's, you know, two games, four games, whatever. You know, if you knew Tom Brady's going to sit, say, the first two games, say they come back and, hey, we're gonna sit you two games, and Brady says, all right, I'm still going to fight it in court, try and recoup the cash component of this. But, you know, I'm not going to speak an injunction. I'll just sit out the first two games. We'll get this behind us. Makes life a lot easier on the Patriots because you know what you're preparing Jimmy Garoppolo for. Now, if there's an injunction now, you really don't know what you're preparing him for. And now you have to look mid-season at, hey, you know, where is the court case? Do we have to start getting Jimmy snaps? Because once the regular season comes, the backup quarterback doesn't get many snaps. I mean,
right.
the lion's share goes to the starters. So that's definitely creates a little bit of awkwardness in terms of how Bill Belichick is going to have to plan this. But, you know, once they seek an injunction, and I believe they will, you know, they'll know at the very least, the Patriots will know, we're going with Tom as our starter. We're going to have to stick with Tom as our starter. Jimmy will get as many reps as we can get him in the preseason. But once the regular season starts, until we know definitively what's going to happen in court, we can't really shift our chips over to Jimmy until we know we have to. So, not a great spot for the Patriots to be in, and if they get this injunction, this gets sorted out in December, January, what do you do then? What if this goes through the court system, and next thing you know, Tom Brady, this is held up, and Tom Brady's got to sit four games in December or January? That's a nightmare.
It certainly will be. Talking with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Let's take a look at the Browns quickly. It was obviously very timely to have you on here. But with the Browns, what is your take on this team, their offseason, as they get ready to open up Mike Pettine's second training camp?
I'm interested to see the Browns. I think that, you know, I think a lot of people, I think because of Josh McCown potentially or most likely being the starter there, you know, I think a lot of people are sleeping on the Browns. They're still wondering offensively. You know, can Dwayne Bowe make an impact, you know, after really fading pretty, you know, he fell off pretty precipitously with Kansas City. And, you know, I think defensively, I look at the additions there. I think Tremon Williams, a very underrated defensive addition. I love Danny Shelton. I think that was a fantastic pick. I actually loved, you know, their entire first round. I think Irving, you know, has a chance to be a very good player either at guard or center for the Browns. And, you know, to me, I think defensively, it's got a chance to be a very, very, very good team. It's just offensively, what is Josh going to look like? You know, we've seen him in a few stops. And frankly, in Tampa, it was I saw him in Chicago, and I thought, you know, he was a better player with better pieces around him. I think that, you know, the Tampa holdover was rough for him. But again, I think some of that had to do with injuries and pieces around him. And I think he's a far better quarterback than people realize. I know Buffalo is absolutely irate that they did not get him in the offseason. So I think he's a serviceable starter. But, you know, some of those pieces around him, we're going to have to see some contributions. You know, Duke Johnson, I want to see him. Anytime a guy gets compared to Thurman Thomas, I'm excited. And he was a very good player in Miami. I know a lot of personnel guys love that pick for Cleveland. So, you know, it's one of those teams I'm looking forward to seeing him play. I expect they'll be very good defensively. And that, if that offense, I think if it can even, you know, hold its own, be kind of a middle-of-the-road offense, I think Cleveland could surprise some people in the AFC.
And that surprise, as some people have said, with the template of playing great defense and running the football, keeps us competitive in the AFC North. As the AFC North stacks up right now, it looks as if they will again be the best division top to bottom in all of football. Where do you feel if we do get a high quality, you know, Chicago Bears 2013 Josh McCown with our great defense, Do you believe this Cleveland Browns can be in the thick of a playoff hunt late into the season?
I do, but I think part of that is going to be because the AFC North is going to be so close. Like, I really do. I think that all four teams, you know, have their flaws. I was just in Pittsburgh Steelers camp, and they have a fantastic offense, a ton of potential on offense. I think they could make some strides even, you know, ahead of what they were doing last year. But, you know, defensively, the secondary is very questionable.
Yep.
And, you know, the front seven's got a lot of speed, but can they tackle? You know, so there's going to be, you know, there's a pretty steep learning curve there for the defense. They've got to catch up pretty quickly. And, you know, that's a big flaw. So, to me, that's a team that's got some vulnerability. Cincinnati, you know, from what I understand, you know, Marvin Lewis right now is, anybody who asks him about his quarterback, he says there's no problem there. Well, I know a lot of people disagree. I don't know. We've got to see. Andy Dalton has got to cut down on the mistakes and really has to turn the clock back a couple of years to get back to that guy who, you know, showed so much promise and really we thought was a $100 million quarterback. I don't know that he's that guy right now.
I don't think he is.
And that's a significant flaw. And then, you know, Baltimore, I think Baltimore could be very good. But, you know, at the same time, to me, just because of how the division is, I expect it's going to be a brutal fight for all four of these teams. My guess is Cleveland's going to be a little bit better than people think. I think Cincinnati, without seeing them yet, I think Cincinnati might be a little worse than people think. And I think Pittsburgh's kind of that wild card. And you know, Baltimore, I think, is that team that, you know, probably will have the most consistent from week one to week 17 kind of team that everybody will be sort of chasing at the top of the division.
When you were with Pittsburgh, you talked about their offense, and one of the guys that is the hype machine, and certainly in real football and in fantasy football, the hype machine is going wild on Martavis Bryant, a guy I liked, I thought, is a raw talent. I know he had some off-the-field issues and fell kind of probably below where his talent should have been into the fourth round last year. How has he looked, and do you expect a big step forward from him this season?
He looks fantastic, and you're right. I mean, this was a guy who was very talented. But, you know, as you said, had some off-the-field issues and kind of dipped, you know, in the draft quite a bit, probably, you know, lower than he should have. But he's a guy who, you know, he's bigger. You can see he's bigger, particularly up top. He's developed a lot this offseason, put on. I think he went from around 210 to around 225, and he looks it. He looks a lot stronger. He made some catches in practice, you know, one over the middle in particular that really should have been over his head. I mean, he went up high to get it. I mean, the kind of thing that, you know, you see tough receivers do over the middle. If he becomes that guy who isn't just a burner, isn't just catching things downfield, but he's also going over the middle and taking hits, you know, he's going to be a huge part of that offense. And, you know, I had a chance to talk to Ben Roethlisberger, and I said to him, you know, is this real? You know, what I saw from Bryant today, is that legit? And he said, yeah. He said he really thinks it's legitimate. He thinks that's one of the guys, along with Marcus Wheaton, who's taken a big step forward this offseason. And, you know, to me, if they're as healthy as they can be, you can only double so many guys. And Antonio Brown is Antonio Brown. So those guys are going to get some one-on-one matchups.
Yep.
And that's part of what, you know, with Cleveland, why Tremont Williams is such a big deal. You need, you know, and you'd like to see a step forward from Gilbert, too, because you're going to have a couple of corners, even in your, you know, three cornerback sets, your nickel looks, where they're going to be matched up one-on-one. So, you know, I think Bryant's going to be a guy who really steps forward big this year.
Charles, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. Keep up the great work. You can follow him on Twitter at Charles Robinson. He is from Yahoo Sports, one of their lead NFL insiders and investigative reporters. Charles, thanks so much.
All right. Thanks for having me.
And enjoy your time in with the Patriots. I'm sure it'll be very interesting there today.
Yeah, starting tomorrow, it'll be a clown show for sure.
Yes, it will be. All right. We'll be back with more wrapping things up here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.